And we can make those negative consequences just a little bit better through the guidance of God. I'd like to also have you look at God, seeing Sister Wanda here, look at God, because some of us, like myself, have put up all our sweaters and coats and jackets and woke up Saturday morning and had to go get all your cold clothes out. I was feeling real good. I was wearing shorts all, y'all know I wear shorts all the time to work, but I was really feeling good because I didn't have to wear a jacket. But then I had to get a little something heavier Saturday morning, and then the great people of Caleb's Football League decided it'd be a good day to play a game. Now, for Caleb, he may have had a great time running around out there, but I was standing in the cold, and my hands, I did not feel my fingers. Typically, after the game, we will celebrate if we win, and we were able to win the game, but we celebrate, we have a little chat, and give our snacks. There were parents packed up, ready to go, when they saw that the game was about to be over. They had their chairs in their hands. They were already walking across the other side of the field from where they were sitting. They said, boy, I don't care if you get that snack or not, let's go. But it is astounding how powerful God is. The weatherman and scientists may have a name for what happened and why it was hot Friday, but it was cold yesterday and still cool today. But I know the real reason that the weather changed is God.
Amen.
And God may have said you had a mild winter. Let me give you one more day to wear your nice coat and sweat and hat and show that you can look good even when the temperature is low. Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Joshua. The chapter is 7, the verses are 24 and 25. I want to thank Brother Paul and Brother Ronnie and Brother Robert who led us in our devotion of this morning, singing and our scripture reading and our prayer. Thank Brother Robert. He said Brother Gaston, that I guess he knows I need a little more help on this message on this morning. So thank you for that prayer, calling me out by name. And I'm glad that Brother Ronnie is not calling me the dog from the movie that brought terror upon many children and many people. I appreciate that. The Bible says this: and Joshua and all Israel with him, and took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones and
fire, after they had stoned them with stones. Now when we get here, we are at the Valley of Achor, and we have this man Achan, and all his stuff and all his family are stoned and burned. The question is, why are they being killed? Why are they being stoned in this valley? The answer is, it is because of our message, the ripple effect. The ripple effect. The purpose is to show us that our decisions touch more lives than our own. You see, the devil does a couple things. First, he's done this to slow us in our faithfulness to God. He's given us this thing called busy. He's caused us to be busy. I'm too busy to read. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to worship. I'm too busy to sing. I'm too busy to go and see about someone who may need somebody to sit with them. I'm just too busy. The other thing Satan has done is Satan has caused us to go into this mindset that it's just, let me do me. You do you, and I'll do me. Well, see, I'm here this morning to share with you that you doing you can have an impact on me. So when you just do you, that could lead to something that affects me. And Satan wants us to just do us, because when we just do us, we do what makes us happy and we don't consider other people. And so every decision we make has what we call a ripple effect. There's a quote by Dalai Lama, which says, just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects. This could be very positive. These could be negative. But every decision we make has a far-reaching effect. It touches more lives than just our own. Now, how will we go through our purpose? What we're going to do is we're going to look at the story of Achan. Because when we read our text, we find Achan and his family and all his belongings being stoned and burned. We got to know why that happened. How does this story relate to us? And how to consider the effect of decisions? How do we consider the effect of our decisions? Let us go back to chapter 6. In chapter 6, this is the battle of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. This is the first battle or the first conquest of the children of Israel when they go into the promised land. Now, God gives them a strategy on how to overtake Jericho. For 6 days, they are to blow the ram's horn and circle the city of Jericho one time. On the seventh day, they are to circle the city of Jericho 7 times and blow the ram's horns, and they'll be given a signal when to shout. And when they shout, the walls of Jericho will fall down. And when the walls fall down, they have to go in and take the city. I want to draw your attention to Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, because Joshua here gives them the command on what they ought to do. He says this, and ye, wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. The two words there, accursed. Accursed means a doomed object. Means anything that is marked as accursed should be destroyed. And then when he says bring trouble, trouble means pain or suffering. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So here is Joshua telling them what to destroy, what to bring back, and where to put what you bring back. Now, the people go in, the walls fall, and they go into Jericho, and they destroy the city. They kill the people. They bring back the things of brass and iron and gold and silver and put them into the Lord's treasury. Now, let's go to chapter 7. Now, chapter 7, verse 1 gives us information that Israel doesn't know at the time that they go and try to take Ai. In chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible reads, the Bible says this. Wait a minute, my paper pages jumping around. Okay. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, they didn't know this. Because in verse 2, Joshua sends spies out to the land of Ai. And when he sends spies to the land of Ai, they come back with a report and say, Joshua, we don't have to send as many people as we sent to Jericho. We can send 2,000 to 3,000 men and take that city. Joshua says, okay, they go up to Ai. 36 men are killed in this battle of Israel. And the Israelites are chased back from Ai back to their camp. Well, Joshua hears of defeat. Joshua learns of defeat, and Joshua says, what happened? He goes to God and says, what has happened? Why are we losing? You see, I liken this into, because when you go to battle with God, you expect to win. And you should win, because God ain't never lost. So I liken it to when I was growing up, and in my neighborhood, we played outside in the street. Played a little street football, a little street basketball, what have you. And I liked when my cousin didn't have practice. My older cousin didn't have practice, because he would come outside and play with us. And see, he's older than me. He's the big kid. And you always want to be on the big kid's team. Because the big kid was faster. The big kid was stronger. And when you're on the big kid's team, you win. And I was blessed that the big kid was my cousin. So he always picked his little cousin to be on his team. And oh, I won a lot of games out there on the street because I played with my cousin. I get in trouble, what I do? Throw the ball to my cousin. If I wanted to get open, I say, cousin, I'm gonna get open. He said, this is what you do to be open, and I'm gonna give you the ball. And he blocked for whatever I need a big cuz to do, he did it. And we won. Now that I think about it, I wasn't really that good. I thought I really had talent. I didn't have no talent. I had big cousin. See, Israel had God, big cousin. And every time they went in the battle, they won because of big cousin. And they went up there to Ai. Why did they know they were going to win? Because of God, big cousin. And because they, I ain't on your team right now. So we lost. They lost, and they go back, and Joshua says, God, why do we lose? You're on our team. We don't lose. So God answers in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 7. He says this. Israel hath sinned. See, we knew that already from verse 1. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And when they have put it, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. The reason they lost was because they went against God's command in Jericho. So there's something here in verse 11. Verse 11 says, the Bible says that they have stolen. Why? Because the things that they were supposed to kill, the things they're supposed to put into the treasury are not there. So when we don't give God what he's due, we stealing. And this action brought trouble, pain, and suffering upon the children of Israel. How do I know that? They lost the first attack at Ai. So I want you to consider when you are preparing, for example, your budget for God. When you are preparing the budget for your household and you are preparing to give God his offering, do you steal from God? When you are planning your day, the time of your day, do you steal from God? Do you take from God what's rightfully his? I don't understand, and when I fall and do this, I don't understand why it is that I can't make time for God when God made time for me. I don't have time if it's not for God. So there's no way there's not enough time for me to spend some time with God's word. Then verse 12, he says this, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you. See, sin and God don't mix. God can't hang out with sin. If you want to live in sin, you can't live in God. And God can't live in you. You have to get rid of the sin or the accursed thing or the doomed object in order for God to live with you. God don't have no roommates. It's either him or sin. Who will you let live inside of you? It will be what you want to do or what God wants you to do. See, if we choose what we want to do, God can't live there. God can't dwell with us. God don't want to guide us because we are being guided by ourselves. And God says there's only one resident that can live in you. Your body is an efficiency. You don't have roommates. Now let's move on. God says, so they have to get rid of the accursed thing. So they bring forth the tribes, the clans, the families, and the households, and they find that Achan is the one that has stolen from God. And Achan confesses in verse 22, chapter 7, verse 22. So, let's go to verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, or desired them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. Achan went against God's command. And so when we get to our text of verses 24 and 25, this is why his whole family is stoned and burned. But Achan just did him. But there's a ripple effect, because his action cost the lives of 36 Israelite soldiers, cost the lives of his sons and daughters because of what he did. See, we can't just do us, because somebody else's life is affected by our decision. Achan made this a decision and cost his family, cost his people their lives. There was trouble in Israel because of Achan. There's 36 families in Israel without a son, without a husband, without a father, without a brother, without a cousin. Why? Because Achan took some stuff. There's a family wiped out. Achan had a daddy, Achan had a mother, and they don't have a son or grandchildren anymore because what? Achan took some stuff. That one pebble of stealing from God had a ripple effect that affected not only him, but the whole camp of Israel. Now, how does this story relate to us? How does this story relate to us? Look at what Achan did. He took some stuff. These are the results of Achan taking some stuff. They were no longer connected to God. God says, I'm not with you because there's sin in the camp, and I can't associate with sin. 36 families are without their relative. And Achan's children, who were at home when Achan took some stuff, have to be stoned and burn. Let's look at a couple examples. I put before you education. It is important for us to be educated, and our children to be educated, to know how to read, write, and do arithmetic, what they call the three R's. I don't know why they call it three R's, because writing don't start with R. Maybe they weren't spelling that well when they came up with it. It was clever, good idea, but didn't quite get all the way around. But I want you to consider, if we don't have an education, meaning we're not trained in certain skills, how do we acquire God's knowledge? Because the Bible is a book. How will you read it if you can't read? How will you understand what God is saying in his word if you can't read? How will you accept? How will you understand the power of God if you don't know that 300 is less than 30,000 when Gideon overtook the Midianites? See, if you don't know, if you can't count, you're going to miss that. Because you don't understand that 300 is less than 30,000, and 300 shouldn't beat 30,000. It's bigger than just getting some skills to acquire a job or create a job or create a business. We need some education to understand God's word. What about, this is something big, because now we got all this technology, and I'm not mad at technology. I love technology. Technology for me, when I prepare a message, I don't have to pull out 30 books and flip a bunch of pages. I can Google it. You can Google God. And most of the sites that give you information about God's word, they're free. Most of the apps about God's word are free. See, God makes himself very inexpensive. So the only reason we don't contact God is us. But I want you to consider technology. And this is what I want you to consider. Texting while driving. Don't, everybody quiet because everybody done done it. I'm quiet too. I done done it too. I didn't do it this morning because I knew I was going to talk about it. But texting while driving. When you make that decision, here's some of the ripple effects. You could cause an accident to your car, another car, a person, which could cause injury or even death. There are people whose cars have been totaled or families have lost a relative because somebody wanted to text, okay. Distracted driving. That's a ripple of, I just texted okay. But you're okay, I don't have a son. I don't have a daughter. My car is totaled because of your okay. Have y'all seen that Allstate commercial with Mayhem? And he's down there underneath the seat and he's going bzzz, bzzz. And that man runs into the back of that car trying to find a phone. Because it's buzzing. Now the person in front of him was sitting there at the light on their way somewhere, but now they're not going there anymore because you hit me. Now you messed up my day. I guarantee you this. That person did not get up in the morning planning to get hit by a car. Because we had to say, okay, O-M-Y-W, on my way. Three letters, small pebble, lots of ripples. This ripple effect is real. When we give our bodies to people that are not our spouses before we are married, there's a ripple effect. There's a whole, there's a lady in Georgia, I think. She has a whole show based on these kind of accidents, or incidents, excuse me. Based on these incidents, she's making a lot of money. Her job is called paternity court. Because people are trying to find out who their daddy is. Because mama and daddy were just running around doing whatever. And then next thing you know, here comes somebody. When you turn on that show and you see somebody 35, 36, 40 years old, and they're saying, I don't know who my father is. They're saying, I don't know where I come from. But see, back when you were 16, 17, you was just doing your thing. You was just doing you. But see, that child is standing next to their mother and saying, you, mama, you doing you, or you doing you, daddy, has cost me the ability to know who my heritage is. I don't know my people because you were just doing you. The effect of doing you has affected me. When you're trying to find out little, big stuff, but little stuff, like what happened to you? How did they pass away? What diseases are you susceptible to? What kind of things are in your family history? You don't know because you don't know who your people are. And the world will tell you all you got to do is just pay your child support and be around for your kids. That ain't God's way. God wants parents in the home with their children. In the home, not available, but actually there. When the child wakes up and calls, there should be a fight in the bed between mom and daddy about who gonna fix that one. But there's too many households where there's one parent having to get up all the time. There's only one parent that's always there. Not available, but there. I want us to look at how we raise our children. Are we raising our children the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Under the counseling and training of God? Are we putting our children in a direction to not only do what God has them do, but do it better than we did? Are we putting them on that path? Are we telling them no? Because see, when you give your children structure, there's going to be some no's in that structure. And see, there's children running around angry and upset because nobody's ever told them no. And the first time they heard it, they lash out. And see, they lash out at places like school because they're not dumb. They know I can get in trouble if I lash out back. See, the way I can lash out at Caleb, when he lash out, I can't lash out like that at work. They may need it. But I can't do it. But there's nobody at home giving them structure. They're giving them stuff. We have become real good at keeping people alive. We're not real good at raising children. Because we're raising them the way I'm doing me. I do what I do. You do what you do. But see, we got a problem when what you do caused your child to hit my child. See, then everybody mad. But see, this is because everybody doing them. There's a ripple effect to how we raise our children. Because they become us, old people. And then they repeat the pattern. This ripple keeps going. And then there's somebody somewhere that has to do all this back work to get your child back in line. When that should have been done years ago. Let's look at, I want to share with you a story, a ripple effect. My grandfather had a powerful ripple effect on my life. My grandfather was a janitor in the Church of Christ in Houston. One of the elders of that congregation saw my uncle, my grandfather, and taught my grandfather the gospel. My grandfather obeyed the gospel. My grandfather taught his family the gospel, which meant he taught my mother the gospel. My mother accepted the gospel. So when she had me, guess what she taught me? The gospel. There's a ripple effect to my grandfather's decision to accept Christ. Because when he accepted Christ, he taught it to his children who accepted Christ. And they taught it to their children who accepted Christ. And I'm going to keep the ripple going because I'm going to teach my children to accept Christ. See, we looked at some negative examples, but I wanted to share with you a positive example because the ripple effect is not just a bad thing. I learned the gospel of Christ because long time ago in the 50s or 60s, my grandfather said yes. That had an effect on me. When he made that decision, he didn't know I was coming. He didn't know nothing about Charles. He knew about his children, and he knew he had learned the gospel of Christ, the message of Christ, and he knew that what he had learned could save his soul and his family, and he wanted to save his family. He affected grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren by his decision over 50, 60 years ago. There's an effect to every decision. Lives are impacted by every decision you make. There are some of you in here that are like me. You are in the church because of a decision somebody else made. You are in the house you live in. You are in the job or you have the education you have because of a decision somebody else made. Thank God and understand that as you go forward, your decisions impact other lives. Let us look at how to consider the effect of others? How can we consider how our lives affect others? Look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. We know this verse is a common verse, very powerful verse. And this verse is when Joshua is renewing the covenant. The children of Israel are renewing the covenant with God after they have conquered the land of Canaan. And Joshua says this to the people. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The first step to learning how or beginning to consider the effect of your decision on other people, first thing you gotta do is choose to serve God. Because number two, it's gonna be real hard for you if you can't serve God. Because in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, when Jesus asks, what is the greatest commandment? He starts off, he says, "Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul." And then he says, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to jump back to that example of texting while driving. Anybody ever woke up, said, "Today I think I'm going to get hit by a car today"? If you answer no to that question, I guarantee you everybody else that got up in the morning didn't plan on getting hit by one either. Love, have a preference for my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Anybody. Anybody is my neighbor. And if I can love anybody like I love myself, and like T.O. said, I love me some me, then I'm gonna take real good care of you. Because I takes real good care of me. Or at least I try. So I choose God. And I can do number two because I've decided I'm going to serve God. And God says what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So when I'm going to make a decision, I consider anybody that can be affected by this decision. What are the ripple effects of this decision? If I move to Austin to accept this job, how will that impact Ryan? She ain't gonna like it. Then I ask her to consider a ripple effect. Does she like to eat? That ripple's been happening a long time. Because if you want to eat, you're going to have to pack up and go. Because there ain't no money to eat in Houston. I'm sorry. There's a ripple effect. So because of that decision, because of a company's decision to hire me here, my decision to accept the job, my kids are growing up in this city. They didn't choose this city. I chose it. Because the city had money so I could feed them. But I made that decision before I even knew they were coming. There's a ripple effect. Consider others. Love your neighbor. Love each other. Make your decisions considering I want other people to have a positive effect or be impacted in a good way by my next move. As we close, I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. He was there when the earth was formed. He was there when God said, "Let there be light." And he knew that he was going to have to save his creation. And when he was betrayed in the garden, in Matthew chapter 26, his disciples, namely Peter, wanted to defend their leader, their teacher. And he wanted to protect him from being taken and killed and crucified, as he said he had to do. But Jesus said, if I wanted to get out of this, I could. I could pray to my Father, and he would send legions of angels to rescue me. But I can't do that. Because if I do, you cannot be back in one accord with God. His decision to go through with the crucifixion was a decision that has affected lives from that day and continue to affect lives until time is no more. Remember in the garden when he prayed, he said, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. That is a decision Christ made, thinking or loving us. His love for us was so strong, his neighbors, that he lost his life so that we could have life. Christ did that for us. He loved us enough to save us. That was a pebble dropped into water. And that ripple is still rippling today. I want you to be affected by that ripple, by getting into that water that brings about salvation. I want you to become a Christian, because as long as you have breath in your lungs and you have blood pumping through your heart, you have the opportunity to catch the ripple of Christ's sacrifice. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, God, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, he said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. God wants you to get into the ripple. While the water is rippling, salvation is being offered. I beg of you today, if you're separated from God, choose to serve God. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Consider the effect your decisions have on others. And somebody in here could be like my grandfather, could be starting a legacy of teaching the gospel in their family and to those who are exposed to their family by making the decision to be a Christian today. If you need prayer, please stand and ask as we sing the song of invitation. And if you need to catch this ripple of salvation that Christ created through his death, also stand and keep standing after the song of invitation has been sung. Let us stand.